So the Red Sox have made the wrong kind of history here today. 1-1 to Durbin, the pitch. Down and in. This is the first time since 1901 that the top three hitters in any lineup ever have struck out three times the first three times through.
125 years.
1901.
That's a lot of baseball.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Oh, a lot of dramatic pauses in that post game right there.
That's an understatement. Will.
How many?
That's a lot of baseball.
USA Paraguay. All right. Let's go. Let's go.
All right. If you're listening to us in your car right now, do me a favor. Roll down your windows and crank this. The game is over. It's officially over. You can turn the radio back on. The Red Sox game is officially over. Despite at the end there being a little hint of something.
Yeah, finished strong. They showed no quit.
Yeah.
Never say die, Red Sox.
By the way, I do have that. We were supposed to do the play of the game. That's the shame of the game. And it's brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. I just want to read this text right here that we got in. It says, "What the hell, Nesson? Now that everybody has cut the cord, zero chance I'm paying a couple hundred dollars a year to John Henry. My nine-year-old son, who loves Little League, has never seen a Red Sox game on TV, been to Fenway Park, and can't name five players from the Red Sox team. By his age, I can tell you the entire roster and their stats."
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you've heard me bitch about Nesson 360 because I cut the cord too. And the fact that they're charging us almost $300 to watch slop on television is an insult. But, which by the way, I think Nesson Plus cost me almost as much as all my other streamers combined to watch this fantastic product. But there we go. I said it yesterday. I said if they were to get swept by the Rays,
you could
officially say, put a fork in it, the season is over, because you are now 13 and a half games back of first place. I didn't look at the wild card standings, but I'm sure it's...
I'm afraid to look.
Yeah, it's what
nobody wants to hear it.
Five and a half games, there's probably six teams ahead of them now. This is just a really, really, really historically bad team. And you know what was great, too, is that, you know, not only did our broadcast do a good job talking about how it's been since, what, 1901, since you've had the first three batters get struck out three times in a row.
That's incredible. Yeah. That's over 212,000 baseball games.
How do you do that? How is that possible that you could do that? And the other part that's so unbelievable, and we talked to Chad Tracy about this yesterday, is this team can't even draw a walk. They can't hit. They can't draw a walk.
23 straight innings without a walk. 23 straight innings.
Just everything about them is bad offensively. How about Caleb Durbin, though? The one guy who went and saw our man Lorenzo.
Yeah, Lorenzo's paying off.
That's right.
Let's get the whole team in there.
But I mean, it's like,
back up to Gradom tomorrow.
How can a team have be this incompetent offensively and have all of the, everything you would want at your disposal as far as, the tools, the coaches, and you still can't get it right?
I think that's part of the problem, though, is the tools and the coaches. And, you know, they haven't been on the same page. And you know what? I think you have a young team that's pressing. I mean, to not walk, they're swinging at everything. So they have zero patience. It's obviously... The stress of the season is you can see it in their plate appearances, mm-hmm. And so they're out of sync, man. They don't know which end is up, and I mean they're on pace to have the second worst record in franchise history. It's unbelievable.
Could be the worst. The record is 111 wins.
Yeah.
They are not. They could challenge the 1932 Red Sox at this pace.
I wouldn't doubt. I mean they're breaking records.
111 losses.
All the time. I don't want to hear, I just don't want them lying to themselves anymore. I don't want to hear that this is a playoff team. This is not a playoff team.
Well, that's Sam Kennedy.
But you're talking
crazy.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Two weeks ago.
Yeah.
They were saying that. Okay. And so that's done. No more. I don't want to hear that. This is not a playoff team. It's just stop fooling yourselves, Red Sox. This team is not doesn't have a chance to make the playoffs.
The only thing they should be concentrating now is how to make this team better for the future, is what pieces you're going to sell, what kind of moves you are going to make, because right now it's an absolute disaster. Winning, what are you talking about? You're in a 13.5 game hole at a first right now. I mean, I don't care how bad. It's funny. As bad as the American League is, you're bad. Like, you're really far back.
They're tied in losses with the Angels for the worst, for the highest total in the American League. So you are the bottom.
You're at the bottom.
You're at the pits. They right now have the exact record the 1965 Red Sox had through this many games, and that team lost 100.
And you know what's
so you're on pace. Wow. You're on a 100 loss track.
I don't know if you guys are with me, but I still don't blame Chad Tracy at all. Like, I don't think Chad Tracy. I don't want to say he's completely blameless, but I don't know how you can do anything with what you've been given.
No, it's a flawed roster. I mean, which we knew coming into the year they had no power. You thought maybe that with Roman in there, he would take off. He and Meyer would, and Contreras,
yeah,
and Abreu,
yeah,
that you would have enough.
And Trevor Story would be the guy he was last year.
Right. To piece together some wins like the Rays are doing, which they have Caminero, but they're not a great offensive team, yeah, but they are unbelievable. They're like 14-0 at home in the AL East.
It is crazy, though, Ken, to think that this team didn't have one player projected to hit more than 20 home runs,
right,
and they thought this was a 90-win team. Like no power. Yep, but pitching and defense is...
But they were last year, basically. I mean, I know they flipped some of the roster. They lost Bregman, but they... We're in a wild card series with pitching, I guess, is their strength, but they probably felt like we're not that different from a year ago. We're just going to run it back again.
It's just been a giant miscalculation, and yeah, a lot of it has to do with Craig Breslow relying too much on stats and not on feel and people. What were you saying, Stiz?
Hey, props to our guy Lorenzo, though. Caleb Durbin,
yeah,
two home runs in the game,
yeah,
and we still lost.
Thanks for listening, Stiz. Rich just said that 5 minutes
ago. Sorry.
That's all right, but it's true. It's true. I mean, the one guy who had to step out of the organization to get batting help is actually doing okay. Like, he was so frustrated with what was happening with the Red Sox. And by the way, when we brought that up to Chad Tracy, Chad was very nice, but his answer was wrong. His whole thing was, oh, well, you know, people during the offseason, they have their batting coaches. And I said, but this is in season. Like, you're supposed to be surrounded by the best that there is in the business. You're the effing Red Sox. You can afford to bring in the greatest batting coaches in the country,
mm-hmm,
and these guys can't hit, they can't walk, and they got to go outside and find a dude named Lorenzo, mm-hmm, up the street to teach them how to hit.
They fired their 6 hitting coaches. So, I mean, mm-hmm, you know, like, so the next 6, come on up. I mean,
Drive line.
That's right.
Their philosophy at the plate is... I don't think anybody knows what the philosophy is. I mean,
this is 6 straight games, 7 hits or less. 6 straight games, 7 hits or less. Your top 6 batters, according to Tom Caron, good job, 119 in the series. They get .119 in
this series.
How
about this? This is bad, too. Boston is now 1-33 when they trail after 7 innings.
Oh, they're done.
0-36 when after trailing after 8 innings. They have lost 5 of the last 6 games. And by the way, 6-14 against AL East competitors. Let's go to Dan in line 1. Dan, what's happening,
hello,
my man?
Dan.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. How are you?
What's up, buddy?
So, again, not that this would be a solution, but how many of the people on the coaching staff have actually played, you know, baseball? Is Andrew Bailey the only one?
He's the only one.
You know, and Ted, you know, you being a former player, if you were playing at this moment, wouldn't you want to be coached by someone who is actually on the field and knows what it's like, the struggle to, you know, the successes, the ups and downs? I think, again, I don't know if that would necessarily help this particular team, but it couldn't make them any worse. I mean, I would want someone who has played the sport, the position, to be there, be my coach, and because he's gone through it.
Yeah, Dan, no, it's a good point. I mean, I've heard people write about that there is no big leaguers, former big leaguers in the organization. That basically Breslow got all those guys out, Veritek, Sia, and it's funny, the guy played 12 years in the bigs.
Yeah.
But he leans into more of the Yale analytic guy than he does the player guy. You got the Dodgers, you got the Yankees. They all have former general managers,
yeah,
in their front offices. They all have former big league players on their coaching staff to help the guys. But the Red Sox don't. They don't have any former other than Andrew Bailey.
It was amazing when, you know, at the same time Cora was fired, the Phillies obviously fired their manager, and they bring Mattingly in there, and sure enough, bang, yep, they start working. Because, just as you said, I'm not saying it's the only reason you can be successful, but it helps that you're Don Mattingly.
Helps they have Schwarber. Helps they have a DH. You have four home runs from your DH spot this year. Four. It's the designated hitter.
I know.
Connor Wong.
It's Yoshida most days.
DH seven times this year.
And Chad Tracy is a lifer. That's one thing you can say. I mean, he grew up in baseball.
But Chad Tracy might not be the problem, but I don't know if he's the solution either. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a little bit more and more kind of like, all right, Chad, you need to make your mark. Where's your, you know, kind of imprint on this team? You're not seeing it.
You know, Ted, to your point, you know, we were discussing this yesterday. It's like, you know, is he doing anything that would justify him being able to, you know, impress other teams around here and maybe get another manager position somewhere else or maybe even stay here? And the only thing I can say is that, you know, there hasn't been a lot of noise from the locker room. And a team this bad, usually there's chaos, and you hear people sniping against each other. You had the little Jaren Duran thing when Michael Holly put something out there.
A little bit of Narvaez. He's pissed he's not playing.
But that's not even that big of a story. The IKF thing was a little interesting. But you'd
think you'd hear more.
You would. You
with
would.
With this record. Yeah,
and,
okay,
and
that's
so
fair.
Maybe, and I'm not going to give him all the credit because I don't know, but it sure does feel that, you know, maybe there's people from the outside looking in and saying, despite all this, the locker room doesn't seem to be screaming and fighting against each other.
You do have the Roman thing and the injury, and I do wonder if Cora would have communicated better and put that to rest, because that has been weird. Yeah. Now, the fact that he's still not playing, not even close, is just bizarre.
It's weird. It's very weird, and I don't know how long this is going to take. There were some crazy reports that came out today that were being shot down everywhere. Who knows? All I know is that the guy's hurt. Most likely you're not going to get him until after the All-Star break, and who knows if that's even the case. They're like radio silent on what's happening now. It's scary, man. It's just...
What is the move before Friday? Like, what can you do to appease people between now and Friday when they open up the gates of Fenway, when we're down there?
Before Friday? Human sacrifice?
I mean, nobody's making big trades right now.
What if you brought in a legit big league manager? Would people be pacified? Would it make sense?
I don't think so.
Rocco Baldelli, like you... Call up the Dodgers, you say, look, we want. I know he's helping out the special assistant to the GM, whatever he's doing out there. He's a former big leaguer. We're going in a different direction.
Like a respected old school.
Yes, we're going with a new, you know, same pivots.
We're going to have fun, we're all going to restart kind of thing?
Yep.
Maybe.
Maybe if we're on like a David Ross or something.
Right.
You might. But right now, it just seems like, you know, you're polishing a turd. I don't know how much you can do to make this situation better.
But you can save
without...
face, though. I mean, you don't want to lose 100 games. It could get worse. This feels like rock bottom. It's not, right? This could be a long summer of protests.
I don't know how much worse this could get.
Maybe we do want them to go. I mean, don't we all, we want this to hurt so that they do something, right? Don't you kind of want at this point, like, dude.
Yeah, be embarrassed.
If you're going to go down in a blaze of glory so that it embarrasses them to do something.
Wear those bags. I'm telling you, that stuff like that actually gets under the skin of ownership.
We'll see those Friday.
Apparently, he's picking up the phone and calling people. Chuck in Southie. What's up, Chuck? How's it going?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, what's up? So I don't understand what everybody's obsession with needing a former player to be the coach, with all due respect, Ted, you're the man, but, like, what is the obsession with that? Listen, if they get a guy in there, is he a leader of men? Does he know situational baseball? And can he deal with these young punks? That's all you need. And GM Breslow's got to go. My Gucci smells.
Look, Chuck, I don't think it's imperative that the manager is a former big leaguer. Just, can you have some former big leaguers somewhere on the coaching staff and the locker room? You know, I'm not saying he's got to be the manager, but just, you know, guys that played that are on the staff, you know?
Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Tim, how you doing, man?
Hello, Tim.
All right, guys. Hey, like I said, man, this was over before the season started. I just want one thing out of this office. I want them to not buy anybody right now at the bat. Wait till next year and show us you're really serious about it. I'm speaking for the fans, man. We got to get two big bats and let all these other parts and pieces fill in. We have the pitching. They got to do it. If not, they don't want to do anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
so true though.
It is true. Like, you don't want them to do anything rash because, as I was saying, you're right now polishing a turd. You're gonna unfortunately have to suck it for the rest of the season. You're gonna have to be bad, and then you're gonna have to start all over again.
What if they do get a big bet, quote unquote big bet, between now and Friday?
I mean,
like, they've obviously been calling. They at some point they thought they were a contender. Maybe not now. But do you? What would the reaction be? What would your reaction be if they do make a trade?
Honestly, I think you would. I don't think it would. It'd be minimal. It'd be
waste?
A pimple on the ass. Yeah, total waste. It'd make no sense.
Even if you got a summer of baseball, competitive baseball,
you think one big bat is all this team needs?
I don't know.
You think
if
they're one big bat away from making the playoffs? They got a lot of problems, Ken. It's not just one big bat.
You say, what can they change to appease the fans? Right. How about dynamic pricing? How about dynamic pricing for tickets and for NESN 360, a refund for people who spent $300 on it? Because when your team sucks, your ticket prices should plummet. Because Fenway's still expensive, one of the most expensive places you can go see a game. And I'm telling you, right now, I get angry having to watch this team because they're boring. They're wasting my time. It's not that they're just like a team that just, barely can't make it. They are boring. They can't hit.
Slayton didn't give up that home run. We had a dramatic comeback today. What the hell?
I mean, he had that moment, baby, just for a second there. And I was
always,
you know,
a silver lining. Yeah, I like that.
That's right. All right. We got a lot of great calls. You know what? Do me a favor. Do the little number thing, if you don't mind. Let's go to Jim on line 5. He's got a way to fix the Sox by Friday. Jim, what's up, buddy?
First of all, Ken.
Yeah,
you're not gonna, you know, whatever you're smoking, I want some of. But anyways, fire Breslow tonight, and before the game on Friday, you have a sacrifice of John Henry.
You're just
what
build like
mean?
A temple, kind of like a Apocalypto, and bring him to the top, and just you know, the head goes rolling down.
John,
yeah, no, that sounds very violent.
Absolutely,
I don't think Jim, that's what you want to do.
I don't care if you're. I don't care if you get Babe Ruth. One bat ain't going to fix this team.
Nope.
Yeah. Might as well just take our lumps now and look forward to next year.
Yeah, Jim, I feel you. Now, I did say something. He mentioned something that I did say before this series. I said, I know that report came out that Breslow's job seemed to be safe. Mm-hmm. And before this series, I said, if they get swept and they end up being 13.5 games back, you may have to fire him. And you may see a firing, because you want to talk about something that appeases the fans. Everybody knows that Breslow is enemy number one right now. Number one.
But they can't. They just put that in the Globe a day ago or 2 days ago. The owners called up. Alex Spear said, we're not firing him.
Oh, what? Are they not going to like ownership anymore if they go back on their word?
Well, people would rip them for doing a 180 within a 2-day span.
No, they'd be happy that Breslow's gone.
Does it matter that they just keep going through general managers one after the other, after the other, after
yes,
the other?
You know what, Ted? It's because the philosophy of ownership sucks. And they're just instilling it into each one of – all of these people are just figureheads. They're just like spokespeople for the methods in which ownership is trying to instill with them. After Dombrowski was gone, it's been the same old philosophy. So, sure, just because Breslow's gone, you're right, it doesn't ease my tensions anymore thinking that they're going to bring in someone who's going to act completely differently. It'll probably be another Breslow. It'll probably be somebody who's going to not pay as much money, who's going to do stupid stuff like make a guy like Bregman not sign him because he wants a no-trade clause. How stupid was that, and not use his brain and actually be a person who talks to another human being like they're a human being and not looking at a freaking robot that shoots out numbers and stats.
Doesn't underestimate the impact of talking to humans.
Yes.
What that can have. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the best line in that article, I'm spitting up so fired up. The best line in that article is that Breslow needs a translator.
Yeah, well,
like, you can't even speak his language. Like, beep, beep, bop, boop, beep, bop, boop, beep, beep,
what
beep,
if
numbers,
they get,
numbers, numbers.
What if they convince Theo to assume for the rest of the year they put Breslow up in a cushy position, and Theo's your guy the rest of the year. Does that impress anybody?
Yes.
You know what? That
yes, absolutely.
Moves the needle.
Right. I think so.
That moves
that's
the
their
needle.
Best plan.
Yes, absolutely. You want to make a major impact? That's what you do.
Do you get any sense that Theo is ready to just jump back into
exactly
it?
Exactly.
Not into this.
He want to do it.
He is the last place he wants to be. Right.
But that would get people back in. They would.
And maybe they can twist his arm and just say, hey, for optics, just say you're doing
in
it.
In the meanwhile,
even if you're not,
in the meanwhile, I want my money back. I want my NESN 360 money back, or at least I want some sort of discount. Like, you give me give me something in return, because I spent way too much money on garbage.
We should start a change.org petition. I'd get behind that.
I would do it. I feel bad for anyone who, like me, cut the cord thinking you're going to save money, and all of a sudden you're getting jacked around watching awful, awful baseball.
Always free on the Odyssey app, Rich.
Listen, that's you're true. It's true. But, you know, sometimes I'm at home and I, you know what I do? I watch it on TV and I listen on the
turn app. Down the TV sound and put on the Wills.
That's what I do. I listen to Wills. Look at these phone calls. Okay, let's go to John in Worcester. What's up, my friend? How you doing? Actually, this is John in the car. What's up, John? How you doing?
There is nothing you can do to save this. I hate this team. I hate this team more than I've hated any Red Sox team going back to the late 70s. I mean, this team is unbelievable. You want to fire Tracy after you just fired Cora and bring in Rocco Baldelli. So you got rid of a baseball guy to bring in a yes man, and now you're going to go back and get another baseball guy, and in the meantime, you're going to fire the general manager and do you'll have your second general manager. This is madness. The philosophy and player development of this whole organization has gone off the tangent. You want to do something Friday night? Here's what you do. You have a Roman toga party for Marcelo Meyer and our boy Roman Anthony as Caligula, and check and see if that finger actually works, for Christ's sake.
You wonder, is this you're going to see the impact at the gate? If people are going to stop going to games now.
It's tough. It's a tough product to watch, and it sucks because it's on our station.
And the World Cup fans are in town. They want to see some good ball. So in the downtime.
I know, and it sucks because I am a person who loves going to Fenway. I do. I'm one of those people who gets swept up. I get in there. It's a freaking – when the weather's nice, there's really not many things better.
By the way, Sam Kennedy, 9 a.m. tomorrow on the Greg Hill Show. A must-listen call
Sam,
there.
He better be announcing that Breslau's not around anymore. Yikes. Or that they're giving a discount or some sort of refund for Nesson 360 or Nesson Plus, whatever the
I get the backlash to the Baldelli idea because Bradfoe just tweeted me that quote again that the player said it's like bleeping your pants and changing your shirt, changing the manager. But from here on out, you just make the next right move. And if you don't think Chad Tracy is the guy to go to the next level, then you go about getting somebody who you think and believe in.
Yep, it could be. All right, Nolan. Nolan on line four. What's up, Nolan? How's it going, man?
Yeah, I just had a couple of things to say about the joke that the Boston Red Sox are. And the thing is about Breslau, you have to get rid of him, like, today, because what's the point of keeping him around to build the team for next year if you're going to fire him anyways? It's a person that should have the job now. It's a person that's going to be having the job next year. So at the deadline, they can do whatever they want to do. And I don't want to hear anything about selling the stuff away. I want Henry to pay Chapman or whoever and keep paying him because he didn't want to pay anybody else. So the heck with selling the team. Pay for the team and then pay for it next year and then pay for it tenfold because the guy's just nuking his supper year after year and I'm sick of it.
Yeah,
I
feel you. And the one thing that makes this worse is that you just as a fan feel like nobody cares. Like, you feel like nobody cares because it's like ownership's not speaking. They haven't spoken in years. We're getting condescending attitudes from a lot of the higher-ups as if we don't know what we're talking about. I remember when Sam Kennedy was on with Greg, and he was talking about the report he heard about his torn finger, and he's like, oh, Dr. Greg over here. Come on. If there's anything you need right now, you need some good PR. You need somebody to teach you how to talk to the media or just, like, not look like jackasses.
It feels at this point that Breslau's kind of toxic. Like, he's just people are going to be they're out for blood. It just this season, you know, because when he fired Cora and he just leaned into his, I still think this is a playoff team. I mean, okay, all right, let's see how it does, and we see what it is now. He's the face of this season. The Craig Breslau.
Or at least if he's going to stay, I think they need to fire the Dryland crew and just come out and say, you know what, we've lost the faith of our fans. They blamed this group of people as the reason we can't hit, so we're going to do that. Even if that's optics, we're bringing in some pro big league hitting. We're changing our approach to how we approach our hitters.
Our lines continue to be full. Let's go to John on line five. John in Worcester, what's up, my friend?
How's it going? Love the show, you guys. This is what I want to say. You know, if the Red Sox are going to have these day games and interrupt the afternoon show and most of you guys' show, I'd rather listen to you guys' show and the afternoon show fully than instead of listening to those bum Red Sox. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good night.
Thank you, David.
I don't know. Like,
we're going to do the altcast, the rich altcast.
All I know is you guys can vouch for this. as I was sitting there and listening to Will Fleming for the last like 20 minutes before it, I was just like, I got to get on the air now. I was like, but please, people do not want to hear the Red Sox game right now. Mm-hmm. This is awful. This is bad. I want to be angry.
Your idea of having Theo kind of take the place of Buzz, though, was gaining traction.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of people starting to say that right now. Mm.
And as they should, because that would be something substantial, but that's not going to happen. That's one of those things that sounds great.
Theo looks and sounds like the last thing he wants to do is to get involved in a day-to-day operation here.
Maybe this is just me, but I think he made that one comment. First of all, I don't buy this whole thing. It was taken out of context. I think he's a very smart guy and has spoken to the media enough to know exactly when he says things, how it's going to be interpreted. But I do think that he's so embarrassed that he had something to do with Craig Breslow being the guy that calls the shots here, that he had to say something. I think it was just it was gnawing at him. But by the way, nobody even really remembers that he had much to do with it. And they wouldn't kill Theo. Theo's basically got a punch
Pass
card for life.
Oh, yeah,
people love him here. Yeah. But I do believe that's why he said something, is because he wanted,
feels responsible. I mean, it was reportedly like the 10th GM candidate they interviewed. I mean, nobody would take the job. So it goes back to that. If they had all those other candidates ahead of Breslow, then there's clearly somebody else in baseball that they value that would come in and take the job.
All right, Tony in Worcester, line two. What's up, Tony? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, buddy.
Boy, I tell you, man, it's brutal watching this Red Sox team. I'm a homer, and I always have hope. You know, when they fired Cora, you know, at the end of the day, I was still all about it. I was like, all right, hey, it was inevitable. Cora got a lot of criticism. It was time to go. Maybe it was a shakeup that they needed. But you know what? I'm really thinking about this, and this goes back some years. This is by design, right? With the anticipation of the strike coming through next year, you know, possibly. Let's go back to 2018 during the offseason when they were trying to sign J.D. Martinez. They kept every team was like lowballing them. This is by design. And ever since then, you know, they haven't bought anybody. You know, what happened to the days? Hey, Fenway Park, Hitters Park, you need a big right-handed bat. Let's go get a big right-handed bat.
Mm-hmm. It's true, Tony.
I don't understand the concept.
Yeah, and Tony, you're so right. It's not like they didn't know. That was the thing going into the season. It was such a how did you not realize?
But they put that money with pitching. That's their philosophy.
But that's not you can't go all in on one side and neglect another side.
Well, that's what they were thinking.
A good question from my buddy Sully. Is this decision by Breslow that to think that you could win with pitching and defense worse than Belichick hiring Patricia around
no,
the office?
No, nothing is better than Belichick hiring Matt Patricia. I like that.
It's not, though. No, Belichick putting those guys was the worst. But it's close second.
I said that immediately, and I think Bill Belichick gets a lot of grief for a lot of stuff, but the minute he brought in Matt Patricia's offensive coordinator, I was like, that's a fireable offense. Like, the minute he did that, this is going to be as bad as it gets.
But Driveline, you set a record today in the modern era of baseball. It's never happened. 9 strikeouts, the Golden Sombrero top 3 for 3 straight innings.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. It is really.
Dude, when they talk about this pitching staff, it's like they talk about it and they go, when we get to the playoffs, it's going to be, can you imagine when we have Crochet and Suarez? Oh, it's like,
and that's great.
And Sonny Gray. But you got to get to the playoffs.
Right. You can't hit 50 homers.
Right, dude.
Let's go to Jesse on line 5. I mean, full phone lines, of course. Everyone's pissed. Jesse, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I actually think it's a good thing the Sox keep losing because that just means we're closer to hopefully getting rid of Brezbot, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited. Every loss, I'm like, oh, come on. Here we go.
So let me ask you this, Jesse. Now, because I made a prediction. I thought that if the Red Sox got swept against Tampa, which they just did, that there was a better chance, like a pretty good chance, that Breslow could get fired after that. What do you think the chances are now? Do you think they'll fire him after the series, or do you think they're going to let him ride for a while?
I mean, with this ownership, I think they're just going to hold on to him to the end of the year.
I think you're probably right. I know. I hate to agree with you, Jesse. I think you're right, but man, you got to do something to save face.
Monday night in the Globe, the Red Sox are not considering firing.
That
Greg
means
Breslow
nothing.
Per a team
That's
source.
Awful.
That means nothing to
That's
me.
That's coming
hey,
from
more,
ownership.
One more quick thing.
You got it, Jesse.
Caleb Durbin, 2-home-run day. I might as well go buy a lottery ticket.
There you
That's
go.
Crazy.
it's the Lorenzo magic. That's right. It's Lorenzo, the batting coach, right there. He had to go outside the effing organization to get somebody who knew what they were doing when it came to a batting coach.
I hope all people are – Lorenzo's getting some business out of this.
He should.
I hope, man.
I mean, look what he's done. I mean, it's not a joke. Like, Caleb Durbin, since he has seen him, has been one of the few players who has actually – I was about to say stepped up to the plate, but that would have been really lame. It's actually like delivering on doing something at the plate. We'll take. This is so funny. We have I've ignored commercials because there's been so many people calling in. Let's go to Ken on line four.
Can't go wrong with a Ken.
What's up, Ken? How you doing, man?
Good. How you guys doing? Appreciate you guys taking my call. Good show as always.
Thanks, man.
I hate to be like, yeah, no problem. I hate to be like everybody else because I'm a big baseball fan and, you know, I'm big into media. This team is just atrocious right now. And the only upside right now is Peyton Tolley and Connolly Early. Mm-hmm. It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Outside of those two guys, you got Crochet on the IL. God knows when he comes back. Roman, that's TBD. I mean, it's hard to watch. I don't know. I just wanted you guys' thoughts, and, dude, you know, I appreciate you guys taking my call.
No, you nailed it.
You know, it sucks, too. I mean, it's like, you know, Tolley and Early is great, but Marcelo, you know. Mm-hmm. You
back spasms today. Couldn't go.
Brian Bayo, you know, you got Roman on the IL.
Christian Campbell, AAA.
Yeah, it's just all these guys that were supposed to be the next generation of stars.
And you traded your first-round pick from Texas A&M, Braden Montgomery, walks it off for the White Sox yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. Fifth guy in big league history to have a walk-off hit in his first game against the Braves closer, Raisel Iglesias, who's nails. That's unbelievable. Now, you traded for Crochet. Nobody's going to complain about that.
Yep.
But I think now you're going to have to start. Hey, we're like you're the White Sox of a couple years ago. You're going to have to start trading guys for AAA players.
All right, or the Red Sox are going to have to do something, like now, to save face. At least just to save face, because this has become an embarrassment. I mean, you can pretty much declare them dead. After this series where they're 13 and a half games back, you can just stick a fork in them. It is as bad as it can get, and they have to do something.
Whether it's bad as it is in June since 97.
Yep. Whether it's moving on from Craig Breslow or making some sort of drastic move outside of that, they have to do something. And we're going to roll with this. We're going to continue to take your calls because we got a lot of them. 617-779-7937. Buster came ready, man.
Rich is like, wait, what? Terrible.
Hooked right in.
Terrible.
That was Buster Olney on our show the other day talking about, yeah, terrible, how bad things are right now. Inside the organization of the Red Sox, it is Rich, Ken, Ted Johnson, 93.7 WEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. We have been taking your calls since the end of that unbelievable craptastic series that they just got swept by your Rays.
You want another quick stat from Chris Smith?
Just
the fourth time in franchise history, the top four hitters combined for 11 strikeouts in a 9-inning game. So fourth time since the franchise began.
The Sox are now 13 and a half games behind Tampa Bay. Boston is now 1-33 when they trail after 7 innings and 0-36 when trailing after 8 innings. They've lost 5 of the last 6. And what were you saying, Ted? How many innings in a row without a
23
a walk?
Innings in a row without a walk. That's ridiculous.
That's pretty bad.
But now, is that just literally Rasmussen was like, I'm putting this right down the effing middle.
Yeah.
There's no way. You can't hit it out of the park.
Right.
Why would I walk you?
He wasn't like nibbling the edges. No, dude, it was right down Main Street,
man.
Just
going right at you.
Kidding me?
I thought it was going to be a perfect game through two.
Yeah, it sure felt like it, didn't it? I saw that text. I was like, yeah, I'm kind of feeling that too. Someone said crap-ass team hasn't cared at all for half a decade but expects me to. I mean, it does kind of seem ever since Dabrowski was gone. I mean, it's just this.
But Breslow, this is a two-year thing with Breslow. They had to step in and trade Devers, right? Ownership got involved last year and completed that deal.
Yep.
Now, this year again, we found out from Buster they're on the phone trying to make calls. What is going on with Breslow? If he can't do the job, then get somebody else in who can.
He's a figurehead. He's somebody who's
doing it. Then, Sam?
It's ownership. It's ownership. The ownership doesn't want
to. Can't be John.
No, I mean, it's not John.
Linda?
But it could be Linda. I mean, sure. All I know is that there's a philosophy that this team has stuck by for a while now, and it's now finally, you know, it's coming to roost. Like, now it's as bad. It is manifested into what you are seeing right now in the 2026 Red Sox. And that article was so great because it spelled it out in a way that nobody's really been able to do it so far. It's that they have forgotten the human element of running a team, and it's all about numbers and stats and algorithms. It's the reason Schwarber's not here. It's because they said nobody over the age of 30 who can only play one position. And you're going to lose out on a guy like that, a guy who embarrassed you, came here in town and embarrassed you. But any person with a brain, somebody who actually knows how to run a successful baseball team, would have looked at Kyle Schwarber and said, there's a place for you on this team.
Yeah, somebody that goes back. Yeah. That's Bloom and Breslow. I mean, that's a double whammy.
Bloom and Breslow, same page. Same guys. Yep. I mean, they make deals together. They think similarly. So,
but yeah. Like, to Robert Kraft's credit, Mayo was hired and he was overwhelmed. Right, yep. He was not cut out.
And he
job.
Saw it pretty early, and
they corrected made, course.
How long did he last? Right?
Yeah, 1 year. I mean, yep. I give him a lot of credit for, you know, kind of covering up their mistake quick.
Yep.
Right.
You can do that. People make mistakes.
You know what?
Sticking with someone who's bad and everyone knows is bad. It's not a mistake. That is you. It's detrimental to the team.
Breslow could handle the pitching side of the GM equation. He's done a pretty good job with a lot of the pitchers and a lot of the arms they have. He has a role in the organization, but you need somebody that can actually come in, make the call himself, and get the job done.
It's toxic. I want him out.
And Breslow, he lost all his cover when he got rid of Cora. I mean, it was all on him now.
Yeah.
So he's got no protection. It's all. That's what everybody's venom is going to be going right at him now.
All right, let's go to Richard on line 4. What's up, my man?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Love your show. Listen to it all day long while I'm working.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I just want to say, first of all, sweet Mother Jesus, if they play Sweet Caroline at this Fenway Park anymore for the rest of
Amen,
the year,
Amen, brother. Amen.
Everybody should walk out. Okay, number one. Number two, I think everybody that goes to the game Friday should put a bag on their head. And number three, shut down the concessions. Don't hurt this guy in his pocket. If he's going to make a change, don't buy his concessions. Don't buy the $15 beers. That's all I got
to
say.
Thanks, Richard. Listen, I'm one of those people. I'm going to buy a beer if I go to the game, unfortunately. And
I'm just peeking. But, just, oh,
but,
stop it.
But I think that the bags on the head actually work.
Oh, it's going to take off.
Oh, yeah.
It works because it's always talked about. It becomes a huge story. And from what we are hearing, John Henry personally hates it. Despises it to the point where there's been stories about how people have come down and when they're in the view of the camera are asked to either leave or go to a different part of the stadium. Which, by the way, if somebody tells you to do that, you tell them to go have themselves.
If you paid money for those tickets.
Yeah, if you paid money for those tickets and you're sitting there and you put a bag on your head.
Tarps on or tarps off with the bag?
Tarps off.
Listen, if you're going to do bags and nipples out. Whatever you want to do. Let it roll. All right, let's go to Skip in Salem. What's up, Skip?
How you guys doing?
Excellent.
So this whole thing we're forgetting about is they're probably playing for the lockout. You know, they're not going to do anything because they don't have to, because next year is going to be a throwaway season if baseball goes out on strike and there's a lockout. So what is the motivation right now for them to do anything?
I mean, there's not a lot, and we've been talking about that.
A fair point.
Right. I mean, you if they do anything right now, I would rather have it be find a great manager. I mean, I like Chad Tracy, I do, but if you're going to shake things up and you could get like a good veteran manager who has had success, that's one way you can change it. Having Theo come in and having a bigger role with the team, hell yeah, that's something you could do. Getting rid of Craig Breslow is something you could do. But outside of that, player-wise, you're right. There's not a ton they can do right now, but that's because all of their bad decisions have led to this place. And by the way, somebody on text said, this is worse than the Bobby Valentine year. This is the worst team since John Henry bought the franchise.
I think it is.
Bobby Valentine year at least was hysterical. Like, that was a really funny year because he was such a nerd. And, like, everyone was fighting on the inside. And then you had Gonzalez and Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was so much insanity going on.
At least it was entertaining.
It was great because he was like an idiot. And you knew that they were going to get rid of him at the end of the season. And,
they were 4 games over .500 at the end of June, that team. So obviously it was the late collapse, but still, I mean, comparatively, like you were on a much worse track than that team was.
How bad is this season, comparatively speaking?
I mean, historic.
Right now, it's the worst season they've had since '97. It's the first time they've been 12 games under in June since 1997. So, and that was a bad team, but it could be 1965 bad. It feels like there's just no escape. Like we're talking about these solutions, but what is the obvious pivot to go to right now?
I don't see a clear one. I don't. There isn't a clear pivot. It's dude, we got to just swallow this pill.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change.
Okay, so today the Red Sox did achieve history, and that was, it's been since, what, 1901, that you had the first three batters in the lineup strike out three times in a row. Where would we put that on our list that we have here to the right of the 2026
high.
Red Sox lowest moments?
It's like a triple crown of whiffs.
Okay, so to remind everyone, at number 10 was John Henry on TV mouthing the words, "Oh, sell the team." Number 9 was Schwarber coming back in town and embarrassing the team. Number 8 was Jared Duran versus Michael Holley. Number C, Catherine Veritek dances on the grave.
Where's Catherine?
She'll be tweeting tonight.
Yep.
Number 6, Brian Baio gets the yips, gets sent down. Number 5, the word driveline is introduced into the public.
Yep.
Number 4, Breslow getting ripped by Theo Epstein in a podcast. Number 3 was Cora getting fired. Number 2 was Sam Kennedy Roman. Mischaracterizing the Roman Anthony injury.
Yep.
And number 1 was the hysterical social media ad that they put out for an all-star ballot post, where they had players that were injured, like Roman Anthony on there, like you're supposed to vote for him or Gary Crochet, and Caleb Durbin, who
Not
funny now that Caleb Durbin was on there. So where do
and
we
And they're put... better on the ABS. That was a bonus, but they're turning that around.
That is true.
Their challenges are good.
So where do we put three times in a row the first three batters get up and all strike out?
That's top three for sure.
Yeah, I think it's just in front of Cora.
You set a baseball record.
Definitely top three.
I'd put it like maybe between 4 and 3.
Because it highlights the biggest problem on this team, that they can't hit.
Can I work this out from Mickey Gasper, who's a good guy? He's trying his best. I root for Mickey. He's their catcher now, but he just has no power. So yesterday after the game, he's asked, by Spear, how close were you to those being home runs? Here's what he had to say.
Did you think that either both of those balls were out?
Yeah, I did. I thought I got them both, honestly. I just put in a bad order with Tommy because I'm pretty frustrated with the wood I got. The second one, I felt a hair.
Anyway, he goes on.
But dude.
If Gasper gets those new bats in time for Friday, it might turn it around.
I saw something where he's like, in 8 other ballparks, that would have been home runs.
Right, yeah, right.
But not that, not
yeah,
that way.
Yeah.
That's your DH, now your catcher. Like
the DH numbers are
It's not
insane.
His fault, but it's just
I know.
This lineup.
I know.
It is Patricia bad. This is going to last as
nothing
long
is
as
Matt
Patricia.
Patricia bad.
People
nothing.
Will talk about how bad the 2026 Red Sox were and their offense. It's going to last. You're going to tell your grandkids about this summer.
I do have a weird feeling that something's going to happen. Something's going to happen before Friday's game. There's going to be some sort of move, something that's going to try to distract people from just how bad
a distraction.
Of a hole they're in.
I don't see it. I don't see the move.
Breslow gets fired.
Noah Kahn concert. We've canceled the game.
Sure. Right. Craig Breslow bobblehead day for everyone. Oh, man, what a sucky team.
OTAs, second day of minicamp.
All right, well, let's get to, because all I know is that there's certain reporters down there who are essentially naked and covered in peanut butter when it comes to Drake May and how well he's been playing, especially with A.J. Brown. And everything I'm hearing is that it's exactly as advertised. Exactly what you wanted to hear when it comes to how those two are connecting down there at Pat's camp. We will get to that. Also, the question of Steph Diggs and whether or not the Patriots might entertain bringing him back. We will get to all of that with Mike Vrabel, and we're not going anywhere. We'll be back in 2 minutes. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly. Ken Laird. 1-2-3-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson. And man, what a interesting offseason this has been for your New England Patriots. But now it finally gets down to what matters, and that is actual football and how things are going down there. And
football or football?
Oh, the football.
Yeah, both.
Which, by the way, you're wearing your kit today, right?
Yeah. What's this called? Got kit? Shirt?
Yeah, I call it a slinky shirt.
World Cup starts tomorrow. Can you feel it?
Not yet.
When
Mexico and South Africa go at it, gosh darn it, I'm in.
Dude,
3 o'clock tomorrow.
I live downtown where you're supposed to be seeing everybody coming from all these different countries, and there's none of it except for the CVS.
Have you seen,
is selling like FIFA like mugs and FIFA.
Is that like the only? Have you seen signage anywhere that it's advertising the world?
Okay, so this was kind of funny. I had to go to the airport to drop my son off for something last week. And when I got there, Ted, you've flown into the Super Bowl before, and you've like seen how different cities will decorate. I mean, it'll feel like
buildings everywhere.
It's like you're riding the Super Bowl ride. Yep, you get there, and everywhere you look, it's Super Bowl. Blah, blah, blah. I saw one World Cup sign, and it was on that big ass like moving walkway to the parking deck. Literally one sign, and it's going to be here this week.
That's great.
It's definitely strange. And if you want to get into later on, like, the, you know, there's a bunch of articles coming out about how, as you were saying, everyone thought this was going to be a huge boon for business. Mm-hmm. They miscalculated massively. Now, does that take away the fact that usually the World Cup's freaking great and a lot of fun to watch and the one time I enjoy soccer? No, it does not. But it is wild because I feel bad for a lot of these businesses who kind of got screwed. There were hotels that usually would have conventions during the summer, and they shoot them away because they had like all these different like FIFA and organization stuff had put out a block of, like bought a block of rooms and then canceled because they couldn't sell them.
But now, can we tease our guest for tomorrow? Because I am excited to talk to this person.
Yeah.
Or do you want to keep it a mystery?
No. I want to get the name right.
Okay.
It's somebody from the Scottish broadcasting team is going to be in with us.
Yeah, but they're here with, according to her, 500 Tartan fan club people. 500 or 5,000?
I think it's like 5,000.
5,000 Scottish fans. So she represents...
And they all have their shirt off and they all wrestle each other.
Right.
They're groundskeeper Willie. So every single one of them.
That's actual sign of life. I like that. Maybe they'll sneak up on you late as we get close to the tournament. Like, people are coming into the city. That's great.
As I said, I'm excited for the World Cup. I like the World Cup. It's just, there's no World Cup fever downtown, I'll tell you that. I don't see it anywhere. It's very, very, very strange. All right, but back to the Patriots. Drake May, right now, there's several writers who are foaming at the mouth over this guy. And I don't blame them because, I mean, this is supposed to be, not only is this supposed to be the year that, you know, most quarterbacks, you know, go next level. In Josh Allen, it was year three, and there's a lot of other quarterbacks you can point to and say, year three is the year that if you are a talented quarterback, the game slows down for you.
This is technically his third year.
Yep. So this is technically it, and it's his second year with Josh McDaniels, which I think is even more important than it being his
Correct.
Third year.
I agree.
So Phil Perry, who I like a lot.
My man.
He was obviously, and he's stars on the TV show with you.
That's right.
What, The Breakdown?
The Breakdown, Mondays in the fall.
You make complicated stuff good for idiots like me to understand.
Thank you. Thanks, bud.
That's probably the best.
A lot of work into that show.
My favorite, though, is when Ted and Phil literally reenact a play, and it's like, Ted will have Phil in like a headlock. It's like, all right, this is how you do it right there.
And then he shoved his head in the locker, and then he did that.
So fun.
So Phil Perry wrote, it's early in year two of the Josh McDaniels offense, but Drake May is getting an opportunity to exhibit real ownership of the operation. In yesterday's practice, there were two plays where May hurried to the line, then assessed what was in front of him, and called his own play.
Yep.
Quarterback coach Ashton, that's what we're talking about. Like, the game Audible. Slows down. Audible, you got it. Quarterback coach Ashton Grant says that's something that the coaching staff, specifically Mike Vrabel and Josh McDaniels, have wanted to give May as he grows in the system. Quote, let's just go on the ball and not give Drake a play and let him practice solving the problems himself in which he is succeeding. Very nice. That is, I mean, obviously that's, you know, you think of Brady and that was what he was best at, being able to go to the line and.
Like, just, I can't, I just, Drake May's abilities and skill set with the brain of a Tom Brady, can you imagine, like, that's just, my mind's blown. I can't imagine what that looks like. Like, see, he's going to be so much smarter. He's going to go up there with options. He didn't have that before. At first, you basically, here's the call, go up and run it. If they're in a defense that you feel like, you know, that it might hurt you, then you can check into a run. Now he's going to go up there and he's going to have two or three different plays that he can change into to get based on what the defense is showing. And so when his brain catches up to his ability, oh, my goodness. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's going to be fun to see.
Now, Drake spoke after practice today, and he was kind of talking up A.J. Brown. It's a short clip, but I think you can hear the excitement in his voice, Diz, if you have that.
The best thing about him, he's been a winner. You know, he knows what it's like to win, and he's had something in that room that you really, you know, kind of we're kind of looking for, and I think that's the best thing. You know, I think Steph provided it for us last year, and you know, there's been guys that are growing in their roles, but just coming in with that stature and his ability and his size and just the respect that you walk in there with that kind of Steph had. AJ's got it too.
Is this going to be one of those things like with Brady where you would see him and like videos of him and AJ Brown on vacation together?
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, that would be nice.
I would love it.
But isn't Gonzalez going on vacation with the Crafts to get that contract done? Like they took 10
if he's smart, he would. Gonzalez is going around asking all the other, Carlton Davis. Hey, you feel like going down to Miami and golfing with the owner? Get out of here, man.
Oh, dude. Kraft got me game four tickets to the Knicks.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. It worked, though. I got my big deal, man.
You know what?
I'd do it all over again.
Worked for them.
The Stephon Diggs thing came up, too, because I don't think any of us, am I wrong in thinking that? I don't think any of us believe that Stephon Diggs, there's a future for him with the Patriots.
Vrabel was interesting. He went on and on about it today. He did not rule it out.
He did not.
It sounded doubtful, but. He said.
I just wish he said we've moved on so we can stop talking about Stephon Diggs. I just think it's not going
to
happen.
Let's play the clip because I, to be honest, I read the quote, but I want to hear how it sounded.
Do you guys ever consider bringing Diggs back?
I mean, I think we've probably at the number that we would need right now. I wouldn't say anything is off the table. We would want to add anybody that could help us. I'm not going to give a percentage on it, but I think we're happy with where we're at right now with the numbers and the people in the receiver room. You know, I appreciate Stephon as a person and as a player and what he did for us last year. I'll value that. Helped us win football games, helped us, you know, get to where we got. But right now, I don't think that that's something that, you know, I think we're exploring, but I would never say no.
You didn't have to say that. He's moved on. They are not.
He's moved
happy
on
with who
unless
they got.
Somebody gets hurt. Yes, yes.
Yes, okay. Unless somebody gets hurt. Correct. Yep.
But to me, doesn't it seem like it would just complicate things to have him here?
Don't you just
want A.J. Brown to just be the guy?
I don't know. Because I don't know where, like Steph, maybe he looks at, he was not the same Steph he was 5 years ago.
Sure.
You know, he's chilled out. Maybe he's mellowed. He's like, he doesn't have to be this top dog. And he just wants to come in and, hey, man, just help this team. So you never know where his mindset is.
Is Diggs a better slot receiver than Pop Douglas?
I would.
So there you go.
He is on short to intermediate. I mean, Pop's the deep, but yeah, I would way rather have Steph Diggs.
He's your three, if it's like Brown, Dobbs, and Steph, that's a great trio right there.
That gets me excited. That would fire me up. That would be, ooh, I like that.
And then Matt Collins is your four, or basically like a tight end or something.
I think Matt Collins is better than what people think. I think he could be the three here.
He signed a 2-year deal, though. Do you think he's like a guarantee to make the? I heard Wiggy talk about this morning. He doesn't think Mac's a lock.
What?
He thinks they could. There's just
no. He's a lock. I think he's a lock. I think he's kind of a glue guy. I think he like is
shoeless Matt Collins.
Dude, he's a beast catching balls over the middle.
I like him too. I just it doesn't seem like he's featured now. They had. You know, what's his name? Booty running with the first team yesterday.
By the way, Booty sounded really. Do we have his sound clip by any chance? When he was asked about it, this wasn't today, it was yesterday. When he was asked about his contract, it was really weird. It didn't sound like he really wanted to be here if you took a listen to it.
He sounded better with Roach before camp.
Yeah.
And then he showed up, you're right, and it was different. It was kind of a different vibe.
It was almost like a, hey, man, if they want me here, great. In other words, hey, if there's another team that wants me and wants me in a bigger role, I'll take it. Is this it right here?
Let's I wouldn't mind being here. I do want to be here, obviously. But, I mean, at the end of the day, like I say, I do want to be here. So whether that's X, Z, F, like just whatever I got to do, that's best for me, you know. So whether it's learning the playbook more, moving around, I mean, it's only one football. It's five of us, you know. Right. But that's football at the end of the day. You don't know who's going to.
Yeah.
That tells you everything.
Dude,
the
first thing he said was, I wouldn't mind being here.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't mind it.
We say X, Z, and then F. F is fullback. So I don't know if he'd be a good fullback. But, dude, he doesn't seem engaged.
No.
Like in those comments. But they got some run with the ones, so maybe, I don't know. If they can't trade him, what are they going to do with him?
Right. Use him.
Okay, well, then they got to get him, you know, engaged mentally.
Bert Breer said yesterday on NBC that if they could have gotten a fifth for him, they would have traded him, but they couldn't.
Damn. They couldn't.
They could not
drafted in the sixth round.
See, he's good enough for a fifth, though.
What does that say about? Like people? That's what people think about Kayshon Booty, man.
I think he's better than that. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
I think he's limited. I think he's limited what he can do. I think he's a one-trick pony, which was
pretty good
trick. Was nice.
I was about to say, pretty good trick.
The trick was nice, yeah.
Not a bad trick.
Getting deep, you know.
All right. We are in the Ketchus Law Injury Attorney Studio. No fee unless you win, and you can give us a call, of course. It's 617-779-7937. All right. We got to talk about this Knicks-Spurs game tonight. There is some chaos, and I did it for the guy right there. He loves
the
word chaos. There is some chaos in the streets, and there is a celebrity who absolutely embarrassed themselves in Game 3, and we have a follow-up. when it comes to what happens when you spend a ton of money on some of the best seats in the house and you don't put down your phone the entire game. We will get to that. Also, some plans for whether or not there is going to be a repeat of just how insane things were after the game. We'll get to that right after this. 2 minutes. We'll be back.
So all the celebrities came out. You had Timothy Chalamet, Derek Jeter, DJ Khaled looking at his phone, Ben Stiller, Spike Lee, DJ Khaled still looking at his phone, Jay-Z, Larry David, and DJ Khaled showing Fat Joe something on his phone. What are you...
Who's that?
That is the Daily Show.
Dang.
Nice.
That is...
DJ Khaled.
Didn't we all see it? We all saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. How that doesn't drive you crazy. Oh, by the way, did you see the set list for Rush the second night?
I did.
They already have it out?
All 2112.
They played two shows now. And by the way, you're going to love it. The set list is like hits. It's awesome.
Love it.
I got the multi-set list 38-song special, so they... I got the whole rotation.
Yeah.
By the way, I've met some ladies that are going to the Rush concert.
Really?
You guys talk about no ladies. Yeah. I've already, yeah.
You know some ladies that are going to the Rush concert?
I'm telling you.
So, you know. Mm-hmm. Dude, Rush is a, you know. More women like Rush than you think.
I'm gonna send Jackson, and I want him to do interviews in front of the ladies' room, and like I want him to interview every person who tries to go in because he'll get two interviews that night, probably. Yeah, that is definitely a lonely place to be. The women's room at a Rush concert. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here at 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call at 617-779-7937. Listen, I could feel it when I was watching Game 3. I just kept thinking to myself, this feels bigger than a regular basketball game. And it's not just because it's an awesome finals between the young up-and-coming, quote-unquote, face of the NBA and Wembanyama, but a Knicks team who in my lifetime has never even been there. And obviously it's the biggest city in America versus, you know, a guy who is obviously going to be a superstar. You knew that this felt bigger than most finals. But then Ken just told me, and told Ted off the air what the ratings were for Game 3.
Pretty crazy.
And what were they?
23.8 million record-setting audience for Game 3 on ABC and ESPN, the largest since 1998.
That's crazy.
It's the most ever watched NBA Finals on ABC or ESPN, up from last year 160%.
Oof. Dude, that is... That
like
is
1998, that's what... Like, that was... kind of the golden era of basketball.
Yes.
You know?
That was when you had like three things to watch on TV. You had to watch one of the three. And that right there, that is NFL numbers. Yep. Everyone's talking about how basketball, you know, was dying and it was going down. That right there
It was Jordan, Bulls, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the era, sure.
Yeah.
But right, I mean, that is Thursday night football. Isn't like 25 million like Thursday night? I'm sorry, like Sunday night football? Isn't that like 25, huge. 30
yep,
million?
Yep,
that's
yep.
close to that, which is pretty insane. And so tonight is going to be ridiculous. And maybe DJ Khaled will be back there. By the way, I learned something. I was talking to Stiz, and Stiz obviously knows all of this because, you know, he was an MC, is an MC. But DJ Khaled, I was like, oh, so he's like a producer, kind of like Pharrell or something like that. And Stiz told me something that blew my mind. The dude doesn't, like, produce. He doesn't play any instruments. He doesn't do anything.
He mixes, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't mix. He just apparently finds people and puts them together and go, all right, you're a good singer. I'll buy this beat from you, and then you sing on this.
He's a glue guy.
Huh. Yeah, he's like he's an A&R guy. He's a connector.
Yeah.
That's lame. Well, if you doubt it, though, this is one of my favorite videos. DJ Khaled got this guitar from the Bob Marley family, and he's sitting there, and he's like, well, this is great. And he picks up the guitar. Do you have this, Stiz, do you have the clip? This is
it. Get a close-up of the case. The guitar, you know what I'm saying? And a special note from the Marley family. Shout out to the Marley. Melissa, can you read this for me? Can you read this to the world, please?
Okay. DJ Khaled, we're excited
by the way,
to
stop
share
it.
This new guitar.
I think he asked her to read it because he was stoned out of his mind. he looks obviously stoned out of his mind, but let's take a listen.
DJ Khaled, we're excited to share this new guitar with you. As someone who has an appreciation for Bob Marley's life and music, we want you to be one of the first to play the Guilty 20 Marley. Based on Bob's at-home songwriting guitar from 56 Hope Road. This guitar-inspired songs that help unite the world, and we hope it gives you inspiration as well.
What the hell?
The dude stops. The dude starts strumming it, and he doesn't know how to play guitar.
That's attitude.
He's like, look at this great guitar. So DJ Khaled basically just like knows people.
But isn't he a producer of some kind?
No.
Does he make decisions on what they...
Well, maybe he makes like decisions like, hey, that like hook that, sounds that, good. Yeah. Or, you know what I mean? But all no, right, as well, far as making anything, creating anything, no.
Wow. That's... Man, good work if you can get it. I know this guy. I know this person. Let's have him say. See, I thought he was. I thought he made the beats. I thought
yeah,
you know.
Shout his name in half the songs.
I thought he was like Dr. Dre. I thought he was you know like Pharrell, one of these guys who's just kind of, you know, a genius at putting together good beats and maybe even writing the you know the vocals and having someone come in and sing them. He's none of that, huh? He's obviously a great guitarist. But that is pretty funny. Maybe he'll be down there with his stupid phone in his hand once again. So I knew this was going to happen. When I saw those videos that came out, which were just awful of these, you've seen it by now, right?
I still haven't seen them.
Oh, really?
Oh man.
Yeah, I still haven't seen them.
It's awful. It's after the game in multiple places, there were guys wearing Spurs jerseys who were running down the street and like a mob of Knicks fans.
Can I just ask?
After
they weren't, the Spurs didn't like, fans didn't like instigate anything, did they?
It's hard to tell.
Listen, we never know what happens before video starts, but I know that there's enough of them where it looks like they were just trying to get away. Okay. And then, well, even if they said, hey, your mom sucks.
No, you're right.
It's a group of like 40 people jumping on top of one guy and beating the snot out of him.
That's fair.
There was one person who at Times Square, as I said, in front of the Disney store in Times Square, there was a guy who fell to his side, and a Knicks fan jumped up with both feet and landed on his head. Like, almost a curb stomp. If his teeth were the curb, it'd be a curb stomp, but it was a side head stomp, which is basic attempted murder, and it was all caught on video. And there's, you know, of course, the cops are looking for these people. But it was in multiple cases. There might have been five or six different videos I saw of these Spurs fans just getting, like, tackled and the snot beat out of them and having the clothes ripped off of them, and I knew this was going to happen after that. Is I started seeing like tweets going viral like this. No one ever talks about how Boston treats New Yorkers after a Red Sox game. Plus, we aren't dumb enough to walk through South Boston with a Yankees hat. So if you're a Spurs fan, be smart. Don't be dumb. First of all.
Well, I agree with the last part. Take the jersey off. When you get out of the Madison Square Garden, don't be dumb.
You shouldn't have to. That's like
you shouldn't,
utterly
but
ridiculous.
You do. You shouldn't, but you do.
First of all. You walk around Southie with a Yankees hat, no one's saying a word. Like
right.
That's
correct.
That rivalry has been dead forever. Like nobody gives a rat's ass in Boston anymore whether you wear a
Yankees
hat.
Even last year during the series, the wild card series, that was not like any hostility.
Nobody
it's gone.
Cares. It's dead. I mean, I think the last that this thing was alive was the face wash. That's when it felt real, was when you had Veritek sticking his hand. Like, that was like the last time that it felt like it was a true, I hate the Yankees type situation. Nobody cares anymore. And second of all, everyone, for some reason, when something bad happens, tries to say, well, Boston's just as bad. Nothing is as bad as what I saw the other night.
Do you think tonight will be as bad or potentially worse?
I think the cops are ready. I think that they were caught a little off guard.
That's probably true.
And I also think that
I think they were teed up with the president being there first game.
Yeah.
You know, I think there was just an energy that kind of lent to something like that happening.
And you know what's crazy too is that, you know, I was talking about how this whole thing felt a lot like Vancouver to me, like Bruins and Vancouver, because the Bruins were up by Vancouver was up by two games and everyone in Vancouver just thought that they had the thing won. Like all the fans were like, "Oh, we got this." And then when they realized, "Oh my God, there's a chance the Bruins could win this and then ultimately win it." It's like such a fall. It's such a collapse. And that's what Knicks fans are going to be going through. But they did that after one loss. Mm-hmm. They did that after game three.
Right.
There was a riot at that one watching party that they had in the park. I mean, it was, but I've seen it all over the place. Everyone's like, well, Boston's just as bad. And no, we're not.
No.
We never done anything like that. I mean, listen, there's been a lot of awful stuff that Boston fans have done. They've been racist, they've been bigoted, and, you know, there have been some injuries. But I've never seen someone get stalked and gang-jumped and had their clothes ripped off of them and them getting beaten up in bulk. It wasn't one of these, it wasn't two of these, it was like six.
Not to mention cops attacked, there were like five police officers that had to be hospitalized or, you know, treated anyway.
And it sucks because this is such an unbelievable series. It's great.
Dude, would you be surprised? You know what the ticket prices are going for? Sorry, I just took a right
turn. More tonight?
Oh, no, it's good.
A lot less.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, really? Yeah, but it's like, plummeted.
Yeah, you can find 3,000,
really?
4,000.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, how great would it be if the Spurs won tonight? Like, I mean, if the Spurs win this thing, first of all, it couldn't happen to a better owner, which would be fantastic if Dolan ended up losing. But I just...
It's 2-2-1-1-1. Right?
You know what? Yeah. The world was on the Knicks' side until Dolan became a jackass.
I don't know.
And then all these videos came out of all these Knicks fans, like, beating people up. And now I think public opinion has switched.
But people are down on Wemby from the shove, the face shove. Some people are saying that's out of line.
And that's real news, by the way, is that they are not going to give him a retroactive flagrant because of that.
Oh, they surprised. Really? Yeah. They took it away?
No. They never gave him a foul, and they never gave him... There was talk that they were going to give him a retroactive flagrant.
Yeah, I thought they would.
Like they did to Draymond back when he ended up... I think it was in 2016, and he ended up missing a game. And ultimately, Golden State lost to LeBron, and they're saying that that was a huge part of it. They're not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
So, Wemby, you continue to push. You do your thing, man. You do your thing, Wemby.
But they're going
to
ref it different tonight. I bet you they're much tighter on it.
Because
Mike Brown, I think that's part of it.
You're probably right. All right, 617-779-7937. We will launch some take grenades next. You go to the WEEI app, press that little microphone, leave us a message, and we will play those, and we'll do that right after this. Is this DJ Khaled?
No, I should have. Eminem.
There is somebody who's very mad at you, Stiz, on the text.
Oh, the text line's going crazy.
Who's saying, DJ Khaled is too a producer?
That's not true. Well, define producer. Does he produce beats? No. Does he produce songs? Like, I guess.
See, I think to be like a pop or a hip-hop producer, you've got to have something to do with the formation of the beats. Like, to me, I've just always thought that. Like, if you just find a bunch of people and put them together and say, go, that to me doesn't seem like a producer. It seems like you're like a friendly introducer.
Hey, man, the most prolific producer of all time, debatably, is Rick Rubin. He can't play an instrument or sing.
That's actually a good point, Jackson.
But he's also somebody who knows music and is able to,
obviously Khaled does, too, you know? Like, he probably says what he likes to hear and what he doesn't and gives ideas and...
Does he? See, I don't know. I mean, the thing that I read or the thing that you showed me, Stiz, was that he just doesn't do anything musically. He just says, you're good on this beat and you're good on this beat. He's a conductor, yes. He conducts everybody, puts them in the right place. I don't know. Obviously, the guy has got enough money to sit courtside at the most expensive NBA game probably of all time and not watch the game.
He's doing better than I am, that's for sure.
So good on him. All right. By the way, speaking of the Knicks, this is an interesting story. Oh, you can give us a call, by the way, 617-779-7937. This is a wild report that came out from CBS Sports. And so it's a reputable report. And that is that depending on how this finals ends, if the Knicks lose, that is something that the Bucks are watching and considering in the whole Giannis sweepstakes, because they believe that if the Knicks indeed blow this, that they are going to want to make some sort of change, potentially bringing in Giannis Antetokounmpo to the team.
Well, that would be pretty dumb. If you're the Knicks and you're this close, why wouldn't you just run it back? I mean, a tweak here or there, but you get this close and you would blow it up for Giannis? Then
I'd be curious what you'd have to give up to get him, you know? But, if you fall short, you know, you need somebody to put you over the hump.
But that would be, I mean, I guess they'd try to get a big three. They would try to get Brunson, Towns, and Giannis.
I would be very careful. I'd be careful if I was the Knicks of messing up that chemistry.
Right.
Like, they got the balance seems to be working for them.
I agree.
Well, so it says any deal would likely center around Karl-Anthony Towns, whose value has actually risen after a strong postseason against Wembanyama. The real play here might be Milwaukee using the Knicks as a threat to pressure Miami and Portland, the two most serious suitors, into sweetening their offers. Classic Bucks leverage move. Notice how they didn't even mention the Celtics in this report. So,
Brad's laying in the weeds. Sneaky Brad.
Going to make something big happen. All right, let's launch a couple take grenades, shall we? You got it over there. Ready to go, Steve?
Incoming!
These take grenades brought to you by Milligan & Higgins. OUI and criminal defense attorneys. Go to MilliganandHiggins.com for free consultation. You can go to the Odyssey app, press the little microphone, leave us a message, and we play them later on the show. Let's just do a couple here. Let's see what we got.
Oh, Rich, that is not true. A lot of women like Rush. My wife is a hardcore Rush fan. Has been for over 30 years.
That's not true.
Take it.
That is not true.
Wrong again.
This is unicorn stuff. You know what it is? It's like people who say they've seen a moose before. Moose don't exist.
I've seen a moose.
Have you really seen a moose?
I've seen a moose. Yeah.
I saw one.
Have you really seen a moose?
Yeah.
Because I see all these like things up in Maine, like moose are everywhere. Every time moose crossing, I've never seen a moose.
That was in Jackson Hole. I mean, you'd have a better chance.
I saw one
in Jackson Hole.
Did some rafting in the Penobscot. And early in the morning, 6 a.m., pulled up. There's nice. Moose right on the side of the road.
Awesome. Sick brag.
Sick brag.
They're mean sons of bitches, aren't they? Like, they'll just be standing there. Yeah, I've seen videos of, like, you know, moose. But I mean, then again, it's all AI. I mean, there's really no such thing as moose.
A lot of female Rush fans up there, too.
There must be. There must be. We should do the women of Rush.
I must say, every girl I know likes Rush.
Thank you, Jackson.
What?
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you. There's more than you think, buddy. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. It just seems like vag repellent. Living in the limelight, the universe. Listen, I know it's nerdy and I love it. You know, there's a lot of nerdy things that I like, but I also, you know, I'm not trying to pick up chicks with it. I don't know many women who like Rush. If you're a woman who likes Rush, 617-779-7937, because I don't think you exist.
There's women that like Zeppelin. Yes.
Zeppelin's different. Zeppelin's sex music. Like, Zeppelin is like, I mean, listen to that music. That's like, you know, like, babe, I'm going to leave you. Like, that, like, the first album is basically a lovemaking album, you know? And you remember Fast Times? I said, if you really want to hook up with a girl, remember the side one of Zeppelin 4.
But early
like
Rush is Zeppelin-esque. It's hard rock. So maybe you're just thinking of the nerdy era.
Yes,
you know,
pretty much. The spirit 80s, of radio.
The synth era.
Like, there's no chick listening to 2112.
No, 2112, yeah, probably.
The Temple of Sphinx or whatever that song is called. No one's into that. Roll the Bones. Come on. No girl's into that. But I would like to meet one. I really would. If you're a huge Rush fan, 617-779.
Not sending the trees to Mike Vrabel.
No. She's not doing that. All right, let's listen to the next ticket.
I have reached a point where I'm rooting for my favorite baseball team to lose so that Breslow will get fired.
I mean, that's...
Yep, that's it. That's what everybody wants now.
Ted, sure. You're so right. It's all in Breslin. Yep. He's going to face the heat.
He lost his cover, man. Mm-hmm. When he fired Cora, it's all on him now, man. Yeah.
Why is there no Sam Kennedy, like, people getting angry at him?
Well, I think people understand his role, right?
Sam doesn't really make decisions. He's just the guy that talks for the owner.
Where does the buck stop?
Yeah, I mean, the guy paying the checks. I mean, the guy, you know, cuts the checks, and that's John Henry, right?
Who's invisible.
Yeah.
Who's nowhere to be seen.
Well, he's at the Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, he's
around.
Oh, yes.
Huh? He's making calls. Busy.
That's right. He's the guy on the phone, if you listen to Buster Only. All right, let's go to the next take, Renee.
Hey, guys. What's good? I can say this. Breslow's one of those people that if you stick a piece of coal inside him, it'll come out a diamond because he's wound so tight. He'll be the first to say that my coal becomes diamonds. That's a problem.
That is a Ferris Bueller line, yeah. Is it not?
Totally.
That's right.
Great start to that movie, too. We were talking about great openings in film. You get very excited. He's taking the day off. He's pulling up the curtains.
Oh, the greatest opening scenes?
Yeah, greatest opening scene.
That's a great one. Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, by the way, shout out to the Ipswich High School lacrosse team. Did you hear about how they were supposed to play in the like semifinal?
They got screwed.
They got absolutely effed. So apparently they took a picture at graduation. Yeah. There was a picture of them standing with cigars and somebody saw it, somebody tattled, and I guess there's this thing in which you aren't allowed to consume any kind of tobacco products or you're not allowed to play, and sure enough they had to forfeit the game.
There was supposedly no tobacco in the
right.
Well,
cigars.
Okay.
Unless they lied.
That sounds like a likely story. I read the explanation here, and they're like, yeah, we even like had this bag. We brought it in and said, these aren't really cigars. And we like talked to, it's just fake cigars. Or else, like, dude, they were cigars. In my opinion, I don't know. But it just seems like, well, first of all, that's the crazy thing about high school nowadays is that you graduate before your sports are over. Have you seen this? Like, people are graduating, and they still have games to play. Because around the state, not everybody graduates at the same time. So if I'm them, I'm like, dude, I'm already done with school. Don't punish me. Let me just play my stupid lacrosse tournament. But they had to forfeit because there was a picture of them and somebody narked on them.
Who's the team that won? Then they should feel bad. Give it back to them.
I don't know. I mean, it's ridiculous. They said so. I guess that one of the dads was like, hey. Listen, I can't get you real cigars, but I started rolling. I can try to make some fake ones if you guys want to go down there and just want to hang out. He said he contacted a local cigar shop for advice, gathered the supplies, and rolled makeshift cigars. No, you didn't. He didn't do any of that, in my opinion. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. You shouldn't have to forfeit your game because after you graduated, you smoked a cigar. It should have nothing to do with you and a play. It's so dumb. And there's a picture of them all standing there, and it just sucks for them that they're not able to play that.
By the way, quick aside, you want some uplifting Red Sox news from the Globe? Garrett Crochet said Wednesday his lat strain is, quote, a lot worse than what we thought, end quote. And when asked when he might throw again, I have no idea.
There we go. Just
from Pete A.
Just chill out, bro. Just,
they said it was a mild lat strain on May 26th. Now it's, quote, a lot worse than we thought.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, man, they're 12 games under 500.
Ooh, my arm.
My arm. Yeah, dude. I mean, what's the point of bringing him back at this point? Seriously. I would almost rather him not even
just
be.
Shut him down. But I would make sense if he had, like, something surgical that he needed to fix, though. Like, if it was, okay, you need Tommy John. Okay, or there's some, I don't know. It's just depressing.
All right, Ken. I asked for calls from female Rush fans. Let's go to line one. Okay. Let's go to line two and let's see. All right. Well,
line three.
Line three. You want female Rush? Okay.
Let's go to the text line 603. The effing drummer's a female, you boob. I agree.
Yes, she will be the only woman at the concert.
Well, she's got a lot of fans.
The only chick at the concert. So there you go. Still waiting for your calls, female Rush fans that don't exist, but according to these two guys, absolutely do. 617-779-7937. We will sweep the leg next. Oh, dude.
Yeah,
is
nice
this
job.
Track two from the Roll the Bones album?
No. Is it?
I think this is track two from the Roll the Bones album. Because Dreamline is how, I believe, Roll the Bones starts. And then it goes into this.
Yeah, you're right.
What is this song called again? I believe it's track...
Bravado.
That, am I wrong? Is that Trey? Dude, baby, right. I told right. you I was You're a Rush fan.
Good job.
Hell yeah. Ghost of a Chance, by the way, best song on that album. All right. I was saying that I don't believe, by the way, it is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson.
Look at all these female callers.
Yes. Ted and Ken are both going to go see Rush when they come back. They just made an announcement. They played their first two shows in the set list. I will say this. If you're a Rush fan, they're playing the hits. It's great. Like, that's what a band should do when they're doing this whole, hey, we're back from the dead. You don't want to do like Bruce Springsteen and play like 900 songs that are like, you know,
Dylan.
C-list tracks. Yeah. And then you barely play Dancing in the Dark. But I contend that there's not many women. It's going to be the... Might be
you
the
said
concert.
None. Don't change.
It might be a concert at TD Garden that has the least amount of female patrons. I said that it is very rare to see a female Rush fan. And although I'm about to be proven wrong, line two, Jennifer, you are a Rush fan. You're saying,
I am a Rush fan.
Thank you.
Okay. Now before we speak, I just have to do a quick screener. What is the name of the guitarist of Rush?
Alex Lifeson.
Okay, good.
Bang,
all right.
No,
all right. There we go.
Egg on your face.
A lot of people know Geddy Lee. They know
there
Neil
go,
Peart,
Jennifer.
But, you know, all right. So Jennifer, you've been a fan of Rush for how many years?
Probably about 32. Matter of fact, when I met my husband, the reason that we actually continued dating was that he saw that I had a Rush CD in my car, or
nice.
Tape, I should say, at the time. And he decided I was worth dating because he liked the band so much.
Have you guys ever played Dungeons and Dragons while listening to Hemispheres before?
No.
Okay. So Jennifer, you have to somewhat agree with me that when you go to a Rush concert, it is fairly easy to use the women's restroom, correct?
It is easy, but I'm going to tell you that all the concerts I've been to for them, there's probably a third women to two-thirds men.
A third women? So you think it's a third women, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I've seen Rush so many times, and I remember it was like finding a good-looking person at the Guns N' Roses concert in Worcester when I went years ago.
Well, now we're talking about two different things. I didn't say anything about good-looking. I simply said that there were a third women.
Well, okay.
Myself included in that.
Okay, so what is your favorite Rush song, Jennifer? Give me a deep cut. You know, didn't something that's not Limelight or Closer to the Heart. Give me a deep cut.
I like By Torn the Snow Dog.
Oh,
By Torn, even
doing,
I don't know
doing that
one.
That for the encore.
What album is that from?
Oh, that's early. I can't even tell you the exact album, but that's early stuff from them.
How do you like Annika, the new drummer?
Love her. She's not Neil, but she's not trying to be Neil. But you know what? She made it so that they can go out and play again and enjoy what they do, and I'm excited to see them. We're seeing them in Boston in September.
Hell yeah, Jennifer. All right. Well, thank you for proving me wrong. There is
thank
one
you.
Female Rush fan,
great
and
job.
I found her, and she called the show.
That's
thank
awesome.
You very much. That's cool. There you go. Very, very
by
nice.
Tour off Fly By Night.
What's that?
Fly By Night is the album that's off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fly By Night, is that a good album?
Night. Yeah.
I know that song's good. Actually, is that song good? I don't even...
Yeah, it's all right. Yeah.
I don't think that's a great Rush song.
It's a long
one. All right.
Well, that's...
Eh. Spirit of Radio is a great Rush song. I like the older, like the more recent nerdy stuff, like Presto. Oh,
see, you're a fan. Why are you ripping on him?
I'm not ripping on him. I'm saying they just don't have any female fans. I know what I am. I'm a nerdy Rush fan. I like Rush. I like counting the scales and the pentatonic rolls and all that stuff. I'm into that nerdy stuff. It's why I like Tool so much. That's why it should have been Danny Carey playing the drums. Let's go to Steve on line three. What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys, I heard you talking a little bit earlier. I got out of the truck. You were talking about the Knicks fans, like, beating the crap out of all the Spurs fans in the streets and, like, curb stomping them and whatnot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys were listening, but I called in yesterday to the 10 to 2 show, and I was talking to Jones and Keith about it, and I was talking about the videos of these dudes, like, getting their heads stomped in just for being Spurs fans. And they were calling me crazy. They're like, oh, there's no videos of that. They weren't getting curb stomped. That happens everywhere. And it was just... It was complete. I don't know if you guys heard it or not, but it was just very refreshing to hear you guys talking about it, actually acknowledging that Knicks fans are the scum of the earth. So,
Steve, in fairness,
Philly fans, I mean, are getting a pass here, man.
Oh, I get what they were saying. Like, you see that kind of stuff everywhere. No, you don't.
You don't,
you don't
Steve.
See people getting their jerseys ripped off and getting jumped just for being a fan of another team. Like, that's what are you, what?
Steve, I'm with you 100%. That's the one thing I've been saying. And in fairness, though, you know, I don't know if Jones and Keefe saw the videos because Ted had not seen them. So
I sent him the video on Instagram right after he said it.
Oh, okay.
Like, I followed him and sent him the videos.
Yeah, because if you haven't seen it, you're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen anything like this with any other fan base.
That's,
I haven't.
It's ridiculous.
It's crazy. Like, it's straight up assault. I mean, there's
the police just kind of standing there watching it happen for a little bit before getting involved.
Yeah.
That part's crazy too. But.
It's not good. All right, Steve. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Billy real quick. Billy, what's happening?
What's up, gentlemen? At what point does the Red Sox medical staff start getting investigated? This is worse than the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim medical staff. Or, well, I shouldn't say worse. They haven't killed a guy yet. No. But, I mean, Jesus Christ. At what point does it get to the point where the people get fired, investigated? Everything is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, listen,
this is the tipping point today.
Now, do you think it's lies or are the medical staff wrong? Because they have definitely minimized two players now. They're two premier players, Crochet and Anthony. It looks like Crochet's on board with the team, though, because he's saying we misdiagnosed it or it's worse than we thought. But obviously Roman is not.
There's a history with Red Sox and doctors and they're not being on the same page.
It's like everything is wrong with this team. Like every facet of this team, it's just bad.
What is the redeeming quality of this team? Dude, is there one thing?
I don't know. It's kind of funny. You know, after
there's not one thing. Not a one thing.
I mean that some of the pitching's good, but even that, it's like it's. You know, it's funny. I was watching
Sonny Gray likes trees.
After I watched the game yesterday, I was thinking to myself, I was so depressed, and I was watching this team, and I made something, and I wasn't going to play it. And, you know, maybe I won't play it. I made something yesterday. I took like way too much time on it, and it's not something I'm proud of. It's like there's sometimes where I'll come in and I'll put something together, and I'll be like, okay, this is kind of cool. I'll do it. This is not something that's good at all. But it was how I felt last night when I watched the Red Sox suck again, and I just had a feeling that they were going to suck. Once again, I'm not proud of this. It's not good.
Oh, boy.
But I made it, so I might as well play it. It's garbage time anyway. The show is almost over. So
Arcan doesn't like to hear that, but, you know.
It's no, it's garbage time for our show. So it's,
let's give it a whirl.
So
ahead.
Here we go.
Go ahead.
I washed the socks today to see if I feel pain. John Henry doesn't care as he licks up his ice cream. This Breslow cobbled slop are one gigantic bore. 400 men on base, and not one of them will score. And they can't hit at all. Hell, they can barely walk. Each game I watch feels like a drop kick to my crotch. And as in plus
Well done. Excellent job. That's good. I'm sorry. I really enjoyed that.
Bravo, it's Rich.
It's pain.
That was. That sums it up.
This season is pain.
I like that those new bats come in for Mickey. Jasper ordered a new batch.
I'm not proud of that. Christian Arcand.
This
hello.
Team doesn't deserve great musical bits like that, honestly. It doesn't. I just, you know, like... That was very funny.
Even with the dumb lyrics, that song still hits you in some weird way.
It really does, yeah.
I was going to do the Johnny Cash version. No, be a little more grizzled.
The little guitar twang in the beginning is haunting, no matter what you're singing about, you know?
Sure.
It really is.
Yeah, not proud of that one. All right, so Christian Arcand, let's talk about a garbage team, shall we?
Yeah, Sean McAdam's going to join me at 8 o'clock. We'll get the Mass Live take on all of this. Sean's seen it all, so we'll get his historical take on the futility we saw today. Just brutal. We'll get to Gonzalez. We will have the Dongs later on. And I thought that game, that hockey game last night, was pretty awesome.
It was.
And we got another NBA Finals game tonight to preview and react to.
Oh, yes.
Depending on where we are. But, yeah, it's a loaded show.
25 million people watched that game three.
Yeah.
That's NFL numbers watched that game three. Absolutely insane. All right. Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to us this afternoon. And thanks for, you know what, I like the show being a place where you can go and it be therapeutic. That whole first hour was people just bitching about how awful this effing Red Sox team is and how frustrated we all are. So let's keep it rolling. Give Christian Arcand a call and bitch, baby, bitch, that's how we go! Red Sox blow! Ladies and gentlemen, everybody have yourself a fantastic week. We will see you tomorrow. We love you.